The last case this morning is Google v. Neonode, 2023-16-38. Mr. Tucker, so this is about a different claim limitation, lighting versus flicking away.
Yes, Your Honor, it is. Good morning, and may it please the Court.
Was this another amendment that occurred during prosecution?
This claim term was amended, Your Honor, during prosecution. It was actually added 6 years after the filing of the application, 6 years into the prosecution of this patent. And so what the Board did when it construed the claim term gliding away is it did not analyze the specification, and it instead jumped to the prosecution history and to general dictionary definitions to determine that the claimed gliding away excluded specific gestures such as dragging and flicking. But if we look to a proper application of Phillips, gliding away cannot be construed that narrowly. That's because, again, the term was added 6 years into prosecution, but if you look at the specification, it only describes activating a function based on general movement along the screen. It doesn't describe any specifics beyond that general movement.
And but what you're describing to us may or may not be an effective written description issue. The claim was amended to say gliding. So what relevance does it have in the spec other than under the rubric of written description?
So I think we can look to Phillips here that says that oftentimes the prosecution history lacks the clarity of the specification because it's this ongoing exchange. And
but
it's less
no
important.
Let's assume there's no ambiguity. I mean, we've got to find the ambiguity, right? If the claim term is clear, doesn't that begin and end? Can I ask you, wasn't there other prior art you could have done? I mean, doesn't Hirschberg, when we were talking about Hirschberg about an hour and a half ago, doesn't Hirschberg do gliding?
So we use the Robertson reference in this IPR. Usually in an IPR proceeding, you don't use a piece of prior art that was used before the board in prosecution. So we did not use Hirschfield. That said, I think the prosecution history is ambiguous. This prosecution history took 9 years. Claim 1 was amended 9 times, including in the amendment that Neonode points to for its narrow interpretation of gliding, a total rewrite of Claim 1. So it wasn't a matter of simply replacing moving with gliding, like Neonode says. If you look at the appendix 2135 to 2136, almost every word in Claim 1 after the preamble is either added or removed in that amendment. There were only 15 unique words that remained after that amendment. So it's not like the applicant said, we used to say moving, and now we say gliding. I think there's a second ambiguity in the prosecution history, or at least a reason why it doesn't support the board's construction that this can't be a drag or a flick based on specific gesture mechanics, such as smoothness or continuity, like the board said. If you look, when the applicant introduced the amendment and subsequently tried to distinguish the gliding limitations for drag and drop references, like Hoshino and Conrad, the distinction was not, oh, gliding has to be smooth, but dragging is slower. The distinction was in a drag and drop, the icon moves with the finger, and in the application, as it was currently claimed, the finger moved away from the touched location as opposed to dragging an icon with it. So that was the distinction. It had nothing to do with the mechanics of what a glide supposedly is. I think there's one additional point of ambiguity in the prosecution history, and it's the part that Neonode latches onto several times in its brief. When the applicant added the gliding term, they introduced it as generally corresponding to, quote, swiping, rubbing, gliding, and sliding. And the applicant argues, and the board agreed, that evinced some intent to claim what is today known as swiping. But that begs the question, why is swiping included now, and the other verbs in that list, exemplary list, are not? Rubbing is not a long, continuous, smooth motion, especially in the context of a screen. If you're rubbing the screen, you're not rubbing in, or you're not gliding the way Neonode wants to interpret it, in a smooth, continuous motion. You're moving back and forth quickly. And so there is no clarity in the prosecution history to support this narrow understanding of gliding based on gesture mechanics. Again, when the applicant focused on the gliding term to distinguish the references, it was to distinguish something else, like I mentioned with the drag and drop, but also with the Carlson reference, which wasn't a drag and drop. The distinction was, in Carlson, it didn't matter where you started the gesture, but in the application, you had to start the gesture at a specific location. And so those were the distinctions that the applicant was making with respect to gliding, and not based on some gesture mechanics. And so again, so because it's ambiguous, we look, like Philip says, to the specification, where we were supposed to start the analysis, which neither the board nor Neonode do. And the specification twice says that the present invention activates functions when touchscreens sense, quote, movement of an object along the screen. And then when it describes the figure 2 embodiment, it again explains that the functions are activated when the touchscreen detects, quote, a movement. And so nothing in the in the prosecution history undoes that broad guidance from the specification, and so it cannot narrow the term beyond what is in the spec.
Doesn't it at least reference movement going from a certain starting point to another point, or being on a certain part of the screen? There's some narrowing from just movement, all types of movement.
It does, Your Honor. The figure 2 and the explanation talks about touching down at one point and moving to another point along the screen, but it doesn't say anything about continuity, about speed, about length, any of those adjectives or adverbs that the board put into its construction of that term. And that's where the board got it wrong.
Do you think there is a plain and ordinary meaning of a glide to one of skill in the art?
In the context of the 879 patent,
right.
Yes, it's movement along the screen. And I think that's what Phillips...
Yeah, what's your support for that?
It's the abstract, columns 2, lines 1 through 15, which both say the present invention activates functions when the touchscreen senses movement, and it's column 4, lines 7 through 12, which describes figure 2 in the context of movement. And I think that's actually the fundamental difference between our argument and Neonode's and the board's. Neonode starts with dictionary definitions. Phillips says you can't do that. We don't do that anymore after Phillips overruled Texas Digital. It's not just what a word means in the context of a general dictionary definition. It's the plain and ordinary meaning of the word in the context of the specification. And here the specification uniformly supports that it's movement along the screen. And that's the problem with the dictionary definitions in this case. Phillips says heavy reliance on dictionaries divorced from the intrinsic evidence risks transforming the meaning of the claim term to the artisan into the meaning of the term in the abstract. And that's what all of those dictionary definitions and Neonode's examples below to the court are. Neonode talks about a flick in the context of flicking a finger, or when shooting a basketball, flicking your wrist. That is completely divorced from the context of this application, which is what happens when a stylus or a thumb moves along the screen. And so we'd submit that those extrinsic definitions are not relevant to this analysis, and we have to instead properly tether the claim construction analysis to the specification.
What an odd case, isn't it? I mean, are there any cases, do you know any cases like this? I mean, they amended the specification you're relying on fairly effectively, uses the word movement. But that's the word they took out and substituted with gliding, right, in their amendment. It's an odd situation.
That is right, Your Honor. And as we mentioned in the brief, that came in 2008 after some of the accused systems were released. It is odd. It is curious why that happened that way. And I think that also goes to an error in the board's decision on that same point, which is the board found that Neonode was trying to capture what is today known as swiping. But that's not the analysis. We're supposed to be looking back at what was known to one skilled in the art in 2002 when the application was filed, not in 2008 when technology and terminology turned a certain way and Neonode tried to capture it. So it is an odd case, but I think some of that historical context may explain some of the oddities.
On your construction, if there were a gesture that involved repeatedly tapping, you know, multiple taps for some reason, that would be gliding in your reading, right? If we went with your construction, because it's movement.
I don't think it's movement along the screen. Movement along the screen. I think it would be a tap, and then you would move not along the screen, and you would tap, and you would move not along the screen. So no, I don't think that would meet our construction.
Anything
Unless the panel
counsel?
Has other questions, I will reserve the time that I have.
Thank you. Mr. Graves.
Thank you, Your Honor. The claim language here is clear and unambiguous, gliding away. In fact, the specific language is, at Appendix 49, the object gliding along the touch-sensitive area away from the touched location. Neonode argued in the PTAB and argues here that gliding away should be given its ordinary meaning. The board agreed, made findings of fact as to what the ordinary meaning of the term is, and found that Robertson's flick gesture is different from the gliding gesture required by Claim 1. That should really be the end of it. Google did not contest that the ordinary meaning of gliding is what the board says it is.
What about the specification?
The specification here gives a perfect example of gliding, and that's in Figure 2. And what you will see, that's at Appendix 43. What you'll see is the user's thumb in the first position on the display at the bottom of the screen, and then in the second position, it has moved up toward the top of the screen, still clearly on the display. That is an example, an illustrative example right here of...
Yeah, but I guess the confusion for me, I don't know if confusion is the right word, but in the specification describing Figure 2, they refer to that as movement. And movement is the word that you deleted from the claim and substituted gliding for. Right?
Well, I don't believe they refer to that. Let's see.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm looking at column 4.
Yes. Yes, okay. So that is described as a movement, as it is, right?
But the claim, that's what the claim originally said, right?
Originally, right. But then it was amended to drop movement and proceed with the narrower recitation of gliding along the display away from the touch location.
Yeah, I guess the confusion I have is you're pointing to Figure 2, which the spec describes as movement, and you're saying that is gliding. Well, the spec is correct and accurate. Why did you have to get rid of substitute gliding for movement?
Well, so an applicant is entitled to claim more narrowly than the disclosure in the specification, right? As long as there's written description support for it. And so the reason Figure 2 is significant is because Figure 2 provides written description support for the species of gliding within the broader genus of movement. So,
is gliding used in the specification?
I don't believe the word gliding appears in the specification, but there's an illustration of a gliding motion, right? a gliding operation.
But you take my point, right, that you say there's an illustration of gliding, but the illustration of gliding is referred to in the specification as an illustration of movement.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And we do not contest that gliding is a species within the larger genus of movement. But again, an applicant can claim more narrowly than the disclosure in the specification so long as there's written description support. And the illustration, the visual illustration of what we see here in Figure 2 depicts the gliding species within the broader genus of movement. So there is written description support in the specification for gliding. And that's really what their entire argument boils down to, because the ordinary meaning, to go to your point, Judge Stark, the ordinary meaning of gliding was addressed by the board, and the board made a finding crediting Dr. Rosenberg's testimony and evidence and the dictionary definitions, extrinsic, yes, but entirely proper within the context of this claim to submit to the board to explicate the ordinary meaning of gliding, because this is not a technical term. It's a term that anyone can understand. The board credited Neonode's evidence, not just dictionary definitions, also excerpts from documents showing how Google's own developers understand the terms flick and swipe and so on. There was a range there. Some of the dictionary definitions and documents were prior to the priority date of the patent. Some of them were subsequent, but the board found that Google had failed to proffer any evidence suggesting that any of the meanings of any of these terms had changed in the interim. So there's copious evidentiary support for the board's finding regarding the ordinary meaning of gliding and of flicking.
Do you think that Hirschberg discloses gliding?
Hirschberg discloses, well, I would say that the examiner contended that Hirschberg disclosed a type of gliding. Yes. Hirschberg, of course, is not at issue in this IPR.
No, I understand
that. Yeah.
Can we go back to plain and ordinary meaning? I might be a little confused. I would have thought under Phillips, normally we get the plain and ordinary meaning from something other than extrinsic evidence. But what you're suggesting happened here, and you're defending it, is that the board starts with the extrinsic evidence to determine a plain and ordinary meaning, and then I guess looks to the intrinsic evidence to see if something departs from it. Is that what you're saying happened?
No, that's not it at all. The board considered the extrinsic evidence in conjunction with the intrinsic record, which was at issue and argued about before the board. So there's no indication here that the board is using extrinsic evidence in a manner divorced from the intrinsic record.
But how do we know, you say the plain and ordinary meaning of gliding in this art has to do with smooth and continuous movement, right?
Correct, yes.
And the petitioners say, no, it doesn't. The plain and ordinary meaning is just movement. And the board resolved that dispute, I think, by going to extrinsic evidence to figure out where to start its analysis. That is, went to extrinsic evidence to figure out who's right about the plain and ordinary meaning. Isn't that what happened?
I don't believe the board started its analysis there, but clearly the board did rely in part on the extrinsic evidence that was submitted by Neonode. And recall, Google submitted no evidence at all on the ordinary meaning. So I'm using the term ordinary meaning to refer to how a posita would understand the term in a general way, right? Because a lot of words that are used in claims, they're not going to be reliant on an explanation in the intrinsic record in order to understand them. In fact, probably the bulk of the words in a typical claim would fit within that category. Gliding is I would submit, one of those types of words. It's not a word that is going to require recourse to the intrinsic record in order to understand what it means as a first principle. And as we know, we start with the claim language. Gliding is the relevant term in the claim language. What does that word mean? I think most of us have a gut sense of what gliding means, gliding along a display, right? And all the board did here was it looked at evidence that was submitted, you know, the dictionary definitions, as well as testimony by Professor Rosenberg as to how a person of skill in the art would understand the term in this context of the 879 patent and the intrinsic
the
record.
Referencing the spec at all.
What's
right?
that?
Did the board reference the specification at all? I don't recall them doing that.
I don't recall, Your Honor, to be honest. I'd have to take a look at the FWD in order to try to determine that. If you'll give me one moment.
You have six.
six moments or 6 minutes? All right, just.
I don't recall saying that. But.
Yeah, I don't have any information that would suggest that they did at this time, Your Honor. So again, we start with the ordinary meaning of the claim terms. That's what the board did, and that should be sufficient here. The specification provides an example of gliding as the board understood it, and the prosecution file, of course, Judge Prost, you pointed out that in an early version of the claim used the language that Google is propounding for here, which is, you know, moving from one location to another on the display, moving to, right? The claim was rejected. The applicant submitted a video showing the actual operation of a commercial embodiment of what is claimed in Claim 1, the N2 phone. So it is part of the intrinsic record in this case. And the examiner viewed the video and in subsequent marks explained that, you know, he had viewed the video and the video helped him to understand the differences between the invention in the application and the prior art, but that the claim was still too broad. The applicant then subsequently narrowed the claim. As my colleague points out, the claim was significantly amended, right? But one of those amendments, or an aspect of that amendment, was to narrow the claim from the genus of moving to the species of gliding. And, you know, the court does not try to parse through an amendment to figure out, well, okay, is this part relevant or is that part relevant? What was the applicant really relying on here? What the court does under this court's precedence is to look at whether the claim or the amendment narrowed the claim and to give effect to that amendment. And that's all we're asking the court to do here today is, in accordance with what the board did, give effect to the amendment. The claim was amended to drop moving and to focus on the narrower gliding. And that's all we're asking for is for this court to interpret the claim as it's actually stated. In addition, of course, as we pointed out in the briefing, the applicant several times likened gliding to rubbing and swiping and so on in remarks to the examiner, subsequent remarks to the examiner, distinguishing various references that were cited by the examiner. The applicant stated that the touch and glide movement, the object remains on the display, right? The applicant distinguished the Hoshino reference. Now, there were two arguments made to distinguish the Hoshino reference. One was the order of activation, and that's the argument that my colleague focuses on. But there was another argument that was made distinguishing Hoshino's drag and drop operation. And the arguments or the applicant's statement there actually underlined that Hoshino used a drag and drop, whereas the claimed invention here uses a touch and glide operation. So I would submit to you that that was a very clear distinguishing of the drag and drop from the touch and glide operation here. And that's relevant because, again, it points out that the applicant in a posita reviewing the intrinsic record would understand that gliding here is given its ordinary meaning. It's not intended to have a scope broad enough to reach all types of moving or movement. Let me see. I would point out that the argument that there's no written description support for gliding, I think we've already addressed that. There is, and as the court has noted...
Well, that's not an issue before us in any event, right?
Well, I believe that that's one of the main props of their argument to try to construe gliding as moving, is that if it's construed as gliding, as it's written, that there would be no written description support.
Well, that would be based on an erroneous proposition, which I think is clear from Phillips, that we don't construe claims to preserve their validity except in limited circumstances.
I agree wholeheartedly, Your Honor. That's absolutely right, and they failed to demonstrate the necessary ambiguity in any event. As the board found in its FWD. All right. I really have nothing further unless the court has any questions.
I think your time is gliding to an end.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Tucker has some time.
Thank you, Your Honors. A few points, Judge Prost, to answer the question you asked my friend here. The board did not analyze the specification in its claim construction analysis, which spans Appendix 25 through 29. Second point on the ordinary meaning and intrinsic evidence for gliding. We discussed dictionary definitions. My colleague brought up Dr. Rosenberg's testimony. The problem with that is Dr. Rosenberg also did not consider the specification in his claim construction analysis. We pointed this out in our blue brief. They didn't contest it in the red brief, and the evidence shows that he didn't consider it. Counsel also brought up documentation that was released by various parties regarding the meanings of flick and swipe. There's numerous problems with this documentation. The first is it all came after the application was filed, after 2002, so it's not contemporaneous. The other problem is none of it discusses glide, which is the claim term. It might discuss swipe and flick, but it never actually discusses glide. So it's not relevant. On to the prosecution history, just 2 points here. First, where my colleague left off discussing Hoshino. He mentioned that there were two distinctions. It's really all the same distinction. If you look at the quote, the full quote that my colleague was referencing, which is on A2316, the applicant stated that Hoshino does not teach gliding a finger away from an icon. Instead, Hoshino teaches a drag and drop operation for moving an icon. It's the same distinction. It's not about moving a finger away from an icon, it's about moving the icon. In fact, to show that Hoshino wasn't distinguished, Hoshino's drag was not distinguished based on gesture mechanics, on the previous page at A2315, the applicant included a chart that talked about the order of the claimed invention, touch, glide, activate. But then when the applicant included the same chart for Hoshino, even though Hoshino discloses a drag, the applicant labeled Hoshino's drag a glide. So the applicant was then conflating gliding and dragging, not trying to actually distinguish those motions based on the actual motions as opposed to moving the icon. The last point on the prosecution history, the video, NeoNode's video that was submitted, that is also a commercial embodiment. It was released 5 years after the video was released 5 years after the specification was filed, and the court's precedent makes clear that that's not proper to consider.
But it is intrinsic to the prosecution, and the examiner seems to have been persuaded by it.
It is, Your Honor, and that was going to be my last point on the video, is if you actually look at the context of the amendment and the argument that was made with regard to the video, it also had nothing to do with the mechanics of gliding. In that amendment, they were distinguishing the Carlson reference that I discussed in my opening based on Carlson doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where the gesture starts, but in the claimed invention as it was claimed at the time, it did matter where you started. So it wasn't, again, based on the mechanics of gliding versus some other movement. It was based on this location-based activation. And unless the panel has any other questions, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. We appreciate the arguments of both counsel, including four cases in one day. That concludes today's arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor.